How does mentoring start when older women feel like younger women aren't interested, and younger women feel like older women aren't available? Here's Nancy Lee DeMoss.
Whether you're younger or older, you take the initiative.
Exactly.
You reach out. If you're an older woman, ask God to bring you across the path of a younger woman in your church. It doesn't have to be a formal program. It's just, could we just get together?
Mm-hmm.
Just, can we have a visit together?
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast for Thursday, April 23rd, 2015. For the last couple of weeks, Nancy Lee DeMoss and Mary Cassian have been showing us important elements of womanhood from Titus chapter 2. They write about these 10 characteristics in the brand new Bible study, True Woman 201, Interior Design. To see the video version of today's program, visit reviveourhearts.com. Now, let's get back to the conversation.
Well, Mary, we're coming to the end of this series, and we've looked at some amazing elements. Who knew that in just a few short verses here in Titus 2,
three verses,
there'd be so much to unpack. We took one little word like kind or pure and find that there's much in God's word on each of those subjects.
Yes.
And what I love about the part we come to today is it takes all of those subjects, those different things we've learned, loving husbands and children, working at home, being self-controlled, not slanderers, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And it says there's a forward motion from one generation to the next, a passing of the baton, and that a true woman is a spiritual mother. That she's leaving a legacy. And that comes out in this passage where it says that the older women, this is what they're to look like. This is the kind of life they're to have. But then they're supposed to be not only models, they're supposed to be mentors.
Exactly. And what's interesting about this is this is a letter written to the pastor Titus, and Paul is writing to Titus, but Paul is not telling Titus that he needs to teach all the women. He's saying, make sure that your women are equipped to train the other women. And so there's this motion from the truth of God being passed on from generation to generation, not just in general terms, but from woman to woman.
And what it means to be a woman is to be taught from woman to woman. And it says older women are to be teachers.
Yes.
They're to teach what is good and so train the young women.
Yeah.
Now, that's not always a chronological age thing.
No.
That, of course, can involve being physically, chronologically older, but it may be just more mature in the faith, that there's a responsibility not only to live the faith ourselves, but to be sharing it.
There have been women at every stage of my life that have had input. And I think of when I was in high school, the lady that was mentoring me, her name was Diane North. She was an older woman, now only 23 or 24 years old, and I considered her a lot older. I'm sure she wouldn't have considered herself to be old or to be an older
Every woman's an older woman to someone, right?
Everybody is an older woman to somebody. And we don't consider ourselves older women except to the women that are younger than we are.
And this gal had an influence in discipling you?
She did. She did. She was a sounding board for my ideas, and she just really encouraged me right up front to get into the Word of God and to be a student of the Word of God and to be conscientious about how I used the Word. So I learned a lot from her on how to conduct a Bible study, how to talk to other girls about my faith, and she mentored me in some aspects of leadership and drawing women in and taking them from stage A to stage B to stage C in terms of their growth and discipling them. So I learned a lot from her.
How about when you were a young wife and mom? Were there any older women who invested in your life then?
There were, as I said, I can think of women throughout my life. I actually think of a woman who was an older woman, and her name was Pearl Purdy.
Pearl Purdy.
Pearl Purdy, that's a mouthful. But she was probably 75 years old already, and she was one of those women who remained engaged with younger women. And so I was 20-something, 23, 24, and going over to Pearl Purdy's house, and she would have tea with me, or she would invite my husband over and invite us over as a couple, and we would spend an evening with Pearl and Harry Purdy and playing shuffleboard, and it was so sweet, and we just learned a lot from just being with them and watching their lives.
I've had a number of different women over the years who kind of took me under their wing. And you're talking about Pearl reminded me of a lady I haven't thought about for a long time, but her name was Lita Fisher. She and her husband were an older couple in our church, and she would have me over to her house periodically, and we would sit and have tea and just over the little kitchenette table there and read scripture together and pray. And she'd want to know how she could pray for me. And there have been those women who've inspired me, there's been a woman in my life more recently, a pastor's wife who's just about 10 years older than I am, but she's walked in some places that I haven't, and we've been connecting on the phone on a regular basis, and she'll ask how she can pray for me, how's it going in specific areas of my life.
You told me the other night that she had asked you, how is your joy doing?
Yes, she does. She senses a need there in my life, and she'll put her finger on it. She's very direct and to the point, and she says, I've been praying for you about this joy thing. How you doing with that? But then other practical areas of my life. Now, I have to be willing to share with her what I'm struggling with, what the issues are. But then she prays about it. She comes back with scripture. She remembers. And the next time we talk, she says, well, we talked about this the last time. I've been praying about that. How's it going in this area? I've been so thankful to have this woman investing in my life, even now that I'm an older woman.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. When I get around an older godly woman, a woman who is chronologically older than I am and has walked in godliness, I feel like I just want to be a sponge and like, you know, go right up to her and just absorb, absorb information, absorb life wisdom. I just love being around those older women. I also love being around younger women because I feel like they keep me from getting crusty and grumpy and gnarly as I get older. They ask such good questions.
Yeah, I've often said, for years I've said that every woman needs an older woman. Younger women need older women in their lives. But now as I'm an older woman, I'm realizing how much we need younger women in our lives. It's not a one-way street. It's a two-way relationship and communication. And some of the younger women in our ministry and in my orb, in my relationships, they are life-giving.
They keep you young. And they ask good questions. And I know that these women so stimulate my thinking because they're asking questions that their culture, what they are facing, some of the issues they are facing are somewhat different than the ones that I faced when I was their age. And yet the truth of God's word is applicable to all generations and all ages and all cultures. So wrestling with, all right, well, what does this look like in your particular culture, cultural pressures that you're facing?
And I think it's easy as an older woman to feel a little intimidated by the cool factor and think, I don't have any cool factor. Not Mary, you're cool. But I think, you know, I'm going to be like a fuddy-duddy to these women. And yet it's amazing how if you just love and listen and ask questions, the hairstyles, the clothing styles, those things really are so insignificant when you get into relationship with these women. And I think of Elizabeth Elliot, who's been a mentor to thousands of women, including to us, through her writing and her ministry over the years. And she never made an effort to be cool. She never made an effort
to... There are many words to describe her, but that would not be one of them.
But she was incredibly popular with college students.
Yes.
Back when she was speaking a lot.
She was a thinker. I loved her because she was so thoughtful and because she used her mind to address scripture and she didn't shy away from hard questions.
She was forthright.
She would speak
whatever she thought
academic.
Was the truth. She didn't waste a lot of words and she didn't give fluff. She didn't sugarcoat the truth. She just gave it, but you knew that she cared.
That's the key, I think. And that's the key. When I think of the women that impacted my life in every case, I knew that they cared about me.
Yeah.
And that made all the difference. It didn't matter whether we were sitting down for, you know, a little cup of tea, which is kind of odd to me when I'm 20 years old,
yeah.
when Pearl Purdy brought out her little tea set because she was British, she was from England, and so she had a particular way of making tea.
Right.
But that didn't matter. That was inconsequential. What mattered was this woman loves me, and she cares about what's happening in my life, and she's willing to talk to me. And so I can ask questions, and just even in observing her. I think sometimes women are so intimidated by this passage, older women, and they go, well, I'm not a teacher. How can I, you know, I don't want to teach. How do I teach what's good? I have nothing to offer. I have nothing to teach.
And the fact is, we're all teaching. We're mm-hmm. teaching by our lives.
We're teaching by
we're
example.
We're teaching by our words. The question is, are we teaching what is good, as this passage says we're supposed to, mm-hmm. or are we teaching what is bad?
Yeah.
So this mentoring, this discipleship, this life-to-life investment, we're talking about legacy here, isn't sitting down in a classroom. It's not, you know, opening up your laptop and having a PowerPoint presentation, or it doesn't mean you have a classroom. It doesn't mean you get, you know, 50 young women around you.
It can mean opening
sure.
up the Word of God
sure.
together. Or
but it can mean,
it can be very
life-to-life,
life
very
to life.
Informal,
yeah.
in the laboratory of life,
mm-hmm.
in the context of everyday life. And so I think it's easy for a lot of women, maybe even doing a study like this, listening to a conversation like this, to think, oh, Mary and Nancy are teachers. They're doing Titus too. But this passage says to me that all older women, as they mature spiritually, are to be teachers. They are teaching. Mm,
they are teaching. Here's what I love about True Woman 101, the stories that I've heard. As I've listened to various people report to me what's going on in their churches, what I love hearing and what I hear often is how much it's intergenerational.
Yes.
And how that studying womanhood, there are teenagers and women who are married, women who are single, women who are in midlife, women who are empty nesters, and then even senior citizens and 70, 80, 90-year-olds all in the same
come together.
Group
yes.
together.
Yes.
And what a delight that is.
Yeah.
And the younger ones are loving it. And the older ones are going, oh my goodness, I love this. And they're benefiting from one another.
And it's interesting, as we've talked to younger and older women over the years, I don't know how many times I've heard older women say, these younger women, they don't want to learn. They don't, you know, they're not interested in what I have to offer. And then I hear the younger women say, these older women aren't available. They're not interested in investing in me. And you have this standoff. And I think it's important to say, whether you're younger or older, you take the initiative.
Exactly.
You reach out. If you're an older woman, ask God to bring you across the path of a younger woman in your church. It doesn't have to be a formal program. It's just, mm-hmm. could we just get together?
Mm-hmm.
Can we have a visit together? And mm-hmm. you don't have to say this is a lifelong commitment, but to engage, to connect. If you're younger, don't wait for the older woman to come to you. Ask God to show you an older woman in your church who is, you know, her life is worthy of respect, and say, could I ask you some questions? Mm-hmm. Could we get together? And the bringing together of these life-to-life relationships, multi-generational, can be so powerful.
It can be powerful. And I know that in my life, as I've interacted with women who are younger, I've had many women who have come to me and said, Mary, can you disciple me? Can you mentor me? And often I've had to tell them, well, I don't have time for doing it depends what you mean by that.
Yeah.
If you mean by that, that you want to hang around and just learn from me, well, sure, come to the hockey rink and we'll watch a hockey game together and talk. And that actually happened with one girl. She used to join
me. As your son playing hockey, right?
It was my son playing
yeah.
hockey. So as I was going and as I was engaged in the life of my family, or inviting them over for dinner, saying, well, it's, you know, a little bit chaotic around dinner time and you get what you get, but drop in at 5 and we'll have dinner and you can help me clean the dishes.
Right.
And so that is the context in which the discipleship that I've seen when I've mentored women, it's happened in that type of context.
I think another thing that keeps some older women from really letting down their guard to be engaged this way is feeling like they've blown it, that they haven't succeeded at, you know, maybe their marriage did fail. Mm. Maybe they have shame in their past about not having been pure. They say, I just I don't have anything to offer because I failed. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important that we teach out of failure too.
Yeah.
That we say, I've needed God's grace.
I know that in my life, that's the place that I've learned the most, is in those hard times, in those times of failure, in those times when I have come to the end of myself and hit a wall and there's nothing but pressing in and leaning into God and learning from Him. And so I agree with you. I think that failure, we can teach, share our failures and say, this is where I'm struggling. This is where I am having a hard time with this. This is how I have had a hard time with this. This is what I've learned. This is what I wish I wouldn't have done.
Yes. To share out of the regrets as well, because we all have them.
We do.
I love the definition of mentoring that we talk about in True Woman 201. Simply drawing on your life experience in the context of everyday life to provide encouragement and exhortation to those who are younger.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it not so...
Not
daunting.
So hard.
Yeah.
Not so hard.
Yeah.
And let me say that this is something that a 14-year-old girl can mentor younger women, and an 18-year-old girl, and a 22-year-old. God has given us all as women this mothering, nurturing instinct, and we ought to be reproducing spiritually life in the life of others. And that happens physically and through physical motherhood, but it also happens spiritually. And scripture talks about women who have not had physical children. Even though they have not had physical children, they can be the mother of many children.
That's been one of the great joys of my life, because God hasn't blessed me with marriage and physical children. But I have, people ask me, do you have children? I say, I have adopted children all over the place. And now those kids are having children themselves.
You were invited, you were in telling me that...
Tonight I'm going to a four-year-old's birthday party.
A four-year-old invited you to her birthday party. She wanted to make sure...
Can you come to my birthday party? So, it's a joy to have younger people, and then as they grow up, their children, to be plugged into those families, to be investing with them. You know, motherhood is something that every woman can and should experience.
Exactly.
And God isn't ever going to give me physical children, but I am a spiritual mother. Mm-hmm. I've been spiritually mothered. And going back to the first woman, Eve, what does her name mean?
Her name means life giver. She's giver of life. And I believe that that is a prototype in a sense for all of us as women, that God has given us this capacity to give life and to nurture life and to be a mother hen to someone. I think of one girl that I know, she was infertile. She wasn't able to have children, and it was such a heartache. She wanted them so badly, but year after year, nothing, no children. And yet that woman used those years and was fruitful, those years of barrenness. And she was the volleyball coach. And so she coached her volleyball team, and she mentored them and discipled them. And those relationships that she has with those girls are actually, some of them, going to be lifelong relationships, because she invested in them so much in terms of just mothering them and caring for them.
You know, a sign of physical normalcy and health is the capacity to reproduce, the capacity to have children. And I think that's a sign of spiritual maturity, spiritual life, spiritual vitality. If unless something's wrong,
there should be
a capacity to have children. You should be growing, you should be mature, and then you should be spiritually reproducing. Mm. And not just existing. This life does not exist for the hyphen that is the span of my life, between the year I'm born and the year I die. There's a hyphen there. And this life is not just to be lived for the hyphen. Mm. It's to be lived for those who come behind, those who follow in my steps. And I want to be asking, and as I get older, I think more about this. Mm. What kind of legacy am I leaving?
Yeah.
Who am I investing in? If when I'm lying in a box under the ground where my body is, who is going to be carrying that torch and that baton of spiritual motherhood and biblical womanhood? And that isn't going to just happen. We need to be thinking intentionally and consciously about how to pass that baton.
For sure. We need to consider, what is it that we need to teach the younger women? And we have it laid right out here for us in Titus.
Right.
And these are not things that we need to be rocket scientists in order to unpack them. We just need to share the journey of growing in discernment, share the journey of growing in wisdom and in purity and in holiness and in kindness, and to share our struggles and journeys with the women in our sphere. I think that those bonds really of sisterhood, those bonds that we have with the women in our lives, really are what shows to the world not only the truth about the family of God, but the truth that God breathes life and he reproduces and he brings forth life, and that that gets passed on from woman to woman, generation to generation.
You know, one of the things I'm finding as I get older and I watch even older women is there is a tendency, it's easy to fall into the habit of looking at the younger generation and becoming critical. They don't have this, they don't have that, they do this,
they dress like this,
and what in the world are they thinking, you know? And I think we need to be careful about that as older women. Yes, there are issues in their generation and ours, but you know, rather than being critical, what if we rolled up our sleeves and prayed for that younger generation? They need it desperately. We needed it when we were younger. We still need it. And invested in their lives, loved them. And, when we see a whole generation of younger women in the church who have this issue and that issue and this, I think we have to ask, do we bear some responsibility for this? Have we not modeled to them what a different kind of Christ-centered life looks like? Have we failed to train them? Have we failed to obey Titus too? Because if we haven't done this, then we really can't complain if those coming behind us don't get it. And some of these young women they're clueless. They haven't been mothered. They haven't been spiritually parented. Yeah. And they just need someone to come and take their hand and encourage them and love on them and pray for them and say, let me encourage you.
And I just think that we also need to develop just such a grace to give them grace for the journey. I just think of where I was at 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and thinking, my life looked a lot different then than it does now. And so to give that grace to go, she is at a different spot and God is working in her life as he was in mine. And just to delight in that journey and to allow them to ask questions and to disagree and to wonder and to fail.
I'm sitting here thinking how glad I am that older women extended grace to me as a younger woman. Yeah. You know, there's a beautiful passage in Psalm 92, and we talk about this a little bit in True Woman 201. But I want to just close this session by taking a look at that for a moment, because I think it is an Old Testament passage that gives us a challenge about this whole matter of legacy. And it's Psalm 92, "The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God." That's the first key word, flourishing, growing, planted. But then they're not just flourishing. Listen to what the next verse says. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. They're vital. They're alive. They're fruitful. To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. You know, there's two concepts there, flourishing and fruitful. And I think in our culture, you know, young is it.
Yeah.
And a lot of older women, as they get older, feel, I'm useless.
That's right.
And we need to say, no, there should never be a time in your life when you are not flourishing, when you are not growing, and when you are not fruitful. That can be true of every season of our lives.
I look at my mom, who is 87 years old, and she is still fruitful. And she always says to me, well, I'm still alive today, so there must be something that God has for me to do today.
We were talking about this together over dinner last night and just saying, you know, we're in a different season of life, and our physical capacity at points isn't what it was at one point. And should we be pulling back in certain areas? And what should our focus be as we get older in terms of ministry? But both of us looked at each other and said, we want to stay flourishing.
Yes.
And we want to stay fruitful. Mm-hmm. I've asked the Lord to let me serve him with a whole mind, if it would please him, until I'm 85. Now, he may not have nearly that long for me. He may have longer. So he sets, our times are in his hands. But my heart and yours is that, you know, ministry may look different. It will.
Yes.
Our capacity will change. And the calling God has in our lives will be fleshed out in different ways. But I want to be flourishing. Mm-hmm. And I want to be fruitful. And I want to be leaving something for the next generation that they can then in turn pass on to those who are coming behind them.
That's Nancy Lee DeMoss expressing her heart for investing in other women. She and Mary Cassian have been talking about mentoring, a topic they also write about in the new workbook, True Woman 201, Interior Design. As you heard in that discussion, True Woman 201 takes you through 10 inward character qualities that the Bible describes as beautiful. We'd like to send you this workbook and encourage you to ask the Lord to develop more of these qualities in your life. When you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any size, we'll send you True Woman 201. So you not only will get the workbook, you'll also help this program connect with women who need to hear biblical truth. One woman wrote not long ago and said, "After listening to yesterday's podcast, I wanted to let you know how much Revive Our Hearts means to me and why I am a monthly supporter. I lost my mom unexpectedly 12 years ago, and shortly after that time found our amazing Lord. Revive Our Hearts has filled the gap of biblical womanly advice I needed and still need. Listeners play a key role in helping us fill that gap. Without support from our listeners, we wouldn't be able to provide this podcast. This woman who wrote appreciates the teaching she hears and is giving to pass it along to others. Would you do that too? When you make a gift of any size, ask for True Woman 201 Interior Design. The number is 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit reviveourhearts.com. Well, what kind of picture are you giving the world of Christ? You're either presenting a positive picture of the gospel or a negative one. Nancy and Mary will talk about that more tomorrow. Now they're back to wrap up today's discussion on older women teaching younger women.
I'd like us to just take a moment as two older women to pray for both generations.
Yes.
And to ask God for a good passing of the baton from our generation to the next, and then for these younger ones who are coming up, that they will become those older women who are spiritual mothers passing on a legacy of godliness. So, Mary, lead us, if you would, in that prayer.
All right. Heavenly Father, thank you for your plan of passing on truth from generation to generation. And it astonishes me sometimes that you pass on your truth through such broken vessels, and that you pass on truth through human instruments, and that you desire me to speak truth to someone, and that she speak truth to someone else, and she pass that truth on to someone else. So, Father, I pray that we may be faithful. Mm-hmm. We may be faithful in passing on a legacy. We may be faithful in being in flourishing in the Word of God and the ways of the Lord, but also in being fruitful in just pouring ourselves into the lives of others and just loving them and speaking forth the faithfulness of God from generation to generation.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, amen.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.